Well, I want to welcome everybody to this wonderful teleseminar on breaking the habit of not keeping New Year's resolutions. And what I'd like to do is just find out how many of you have even made any resolutions for this coming year. So if you've had, just push a 1 on your phone, and if you haven't, push a 2 on your phone, and let's see what happens. Oh, well, you're like me. Everybody has not made New Year's resolutions, and I think there's some good reasons for that, and hopefully we can address some of them today. But I need to deal with a few housekeeping points. First, this is a short, fast, technique-filled 30-minute program, but I'll stay on for any question and answer should we run over. This is being recorded, and I'll make sure each of you gets a link for your review at a later date. Also, if you have not gotten the handouts yet, there's a link there. Please make sure you do. You can go to www.drrobpennington, that's drrobpenningtonington.com/PDF/habit manual, manual dot PDF. And just to confirm that, let me put all the hands down here. If you have a handout with you, you've downloaded that already, click a 1, and if you have not, click a 2. So I can just get a sense of where everyone is right now. Okay, so we have one person who's not, so if you haven't, let me give you a chance to go download those handouts. Then it's drrobpennington.com/PDF habit manual.PDF. And we're going to be using this manual a lot during this program. I've sent out an email to most everyone, but if you didn't get that, it's drrobpennington.com/PDF/habit manual.PDF. The next thing is just in general, if you do have a question, you can symbolically raise your hand at any time by clicking 1 on your phone, and that'll send me a notice, and when I can answer questions, I'll get to you. So be aware of that option within this Maestro conference system. You can use 1 to signal a raise of a hand to ask a question. Also, if you're on your computer and you've gone to your registration page, there's options there, I believe, to share this event through Facebook or to put on your wall if you're interested. Okay, so let's get started. I think most of us want to improve our lives to be healthier, happier, and more successful. You would not be here investing your time and energy if that were not true, so bravo and congratulations. We also know that through good fortune or bad, that much of our fate, you know, the results we produce in life, are really in our own hands. I think we all pretty much believe that, but really living it, you know, that's another thing. And every year, we have a new year, a time when we realize that we are not bound by the old, but could actually create something that has not existed before in ourselves, in our health, our careers, our bank account, or even in our relationships. So we see the new year as an opportunity for making resolutions, for starting afresh, to be new in a new year. That is great, but I think most of us, you know, kind of come to a fairly depressing realization that we've not always been able to take advantage of the opportunity of a new year. Even if we do set a New Year's resolution, you know, with a wonderful intention, quite often we don't carry it out. We end up breaking our resolutions. So often, in fact, that I don't think most of us even make New Year's resolutions anymore. And as we took the poll here at the beginning of the teleseminar, no one really has set their New Year's resolution anymore. So in fact, you know, I don't think most of us do it. You know, we just don't want to worry about breaking them because we know we do. If we've ever set a New Year's resolution with that wonderful intention, you know, we just don't seem to carry it out. We end up breaking those resolutions. So it seems to me that most of us either have the habit of breaking our resolutions or of not making resolutions in the first place. We know we aren't going to keep them, so, you know, like, why add the guilt? We know we're just going to experience some frustration and be upset with ourselves. So why even start if we know we're going to be unable to finish? You know, people talk about the opportunity of a new year to make a new start, to create some new behavior, but I think for the vast majority, it's just talk. We don't actually end up with any new behavior as part of our habits by the end of the year, and we don't go on to creating a new behavior after that or a new one after that. I know. I've tried so many times creating behaviors. I've been through the confusion, the self-doubt, the frustration of forgetting with obviously not having enough willpower. I often make the joke, my won't power must be stronger than my willpower. Because what I want to do, I just don't end up doing. But I think I'm in good company there. You might agree with me in your life, but I think St. Paul would have said that about himself, and I'm just paraphrasing. I think he said, the things that I ought to do, I don't do, and the things I should do, I do. We can all relate to that. I think it's called being human. But we're not doomed to never improving, to never getting our act together. We do have opportunities to make powerful and positive changes every day. And we can end up each year with some new habits and new behaviors, and then go on to creating new ones, and after that, more new ones. And that's what this intro teleseminar is all about. How to actually create a new behavior and have a good chance of sticking with it until it becomes a new habit. So let's get started with the handouts. Turn to page one. And again, if you haven't been able to get the handouts yet, let me just do another where more people have joined the teleseminar. By a show of hands, those of you who have the handout with you, you're looking at it on your computer or whatever, click a 1 on your phone. If you've not gotten the handout yet, please click a 2. Let's do that quickly so I can see where the majority of people are. Okay, we've got numbers coming in. Most people have the handout, a few don't. Let me encourage you again, the handout is at drrobpennington.com. It's drrobpennington.com/PDF/habitmanual.pdf. And if you can get that, then you'll be with us as we go through this program. On page one, you see right up at the top, good intentions are not good enough. You know, the definition is that intend we have something in mind as a purpose, a plan, or design. And I think most people really think that having a good intention, you know, it ought to be good enough. It ought to produce the result. But it doesn't. Or we would all have wonderful, great habits. It's also true that the benefit of the habit is not sufficient motivation. As much as it may transform our life or improve our health or our relationship, it doesn't seem that the benefit we receive from implementing the new habit is sufficient motivation for us to actually do it. So it's more involved than just having a good intention or having a good result that we want to produce. You know, the great quote here, if anyone knows who said this, please let me know. You know, the road to ruin is paved with good intentions. I think we all realize that that means it's not sufficient to just want to. You actually have to do it. So, you know, that's really what's on the next page is the point about the Nike slogan, you know, just do it. Again, easier said than done. But there's a truth there. It really is. You have to take your intention and put it into action. But it's not sufficient to just do it a few times. I want to give you a deeper insight about this, and that's what the purpose of this is, to give you a tool for building that positive habit out of your good intention. But let's understand a little bit about what a habit is first, because I think we may not have a clear agreement about that as well. So on page 3, you know, it's a pattern of action that is acquired and has become so automatic that it's difficult to break. This is an important insight as we go through this program. Habits are difficult to break. A tendency to perform a certain action or behave in a certain way. A thing done often and hence usually done easily. Now, that's the Webster definition. I really like the definition down in the lower right-hand corner. It's a repetitive behavior you do not decide whether or not to do. I mean, if it's a habit, you don't have to think about doing it. You just do it. And your whole life, my whole life, is full of all these habits that I don't think we really intended to create as a habit. It just kind of happened out of repetition, which gives you some insight into how habits happen. That's something we're going to do something about. And just to give you as an example, every day when you get home, there's a sequence of activities that you go through pretty routinely. And I want you to imagine, you know, like getting out of your car, you're going into your home, your house, your apartment. What's one of the first things that you do? Take a minute just to get that in your mind. Most of you, if you're like me, you've probably got something in your hands or pockets and you put those down somewhere. Then what's the next step? I want you to become more aware of the sequence of steps. So there's a first thing you do. There's a second thing you do. Sometimes we pick up the paper. Sometimes we get something to drink. Sometimes we interact with the people who are there. We've done it out of unconscious choices made years ago, and we really don't evaluate it because it basically works for us. But it is a habit. It's done without thought. We don't say, well, am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? We just do it this way. In your morning routine, when you get up and get yourself ready to go, you do a certain series of things, and you do them exactly in the same sequence. You know, you're not sitting there going, am I going to brush my teeth today or not? Am I going to put dinner on today? No, you do it in a certain way, in a certain sequence. Different for each person, but each person has their own specific way of doing it. And if you're going to create a new habit, it's got to be inserted into the full flow of habits that your life is already full of. And this is an insight that I've had that I think most people don't take into account when they're thinking about creating a habit. And that is, their life's already full of habits, and it's like if they're going to start a new habit, they've almost like got to stop an old one or push some space in between some habits that they already have. And otherwise, it's just so easy to forget. I mean, how many times have you been in your car, kind of on your way home, but you decide to take you need to go to the store or something like that. But somewhere along the way, you're driving down the normal way that you drive, and all of a sudden you're at home. And it's like, what happened? I intended to go drop off the cleaner, or pick up the cleaner, or go to the store or something. But it's like you got on the road, you always get on, and it's going towards home. It's like your car drove you home. It's just an example of how powerful the habits are that we already have, even when we intend to do something different. It's real challenging to be conscious enough in the moment to implement that new behavior. And so I've got this technique that I want to teach you today in this few minutes to overview to give you a quick sense of it. So let's go on to the next page in the handouts because it gives you a fundamental, I guess, philosophy underlying the six steps we're going to be looking at. And that's how do you get, you know, from an intention to a habit. And here's a nice little formula. The intention, and that's what you already have. You know, you have an intention to make some change. Then you have to have a plan. That's what you're going to go through creating today. And that's what we generally don't do, is we just have the intention, I'm going to exercise more, you know, or I'm going to eat less, or whatever, I'm going to lose weight. Something very, very broad that's just really, if you can't define it into a specific behavior, it's just not ever going to happen. And that's what the third point in the formula is action. You know, that's what you're going to do with the plan. And then the repetition, that's what you're going to do the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. And there's deep research that shows that our repetition is really the key. And you have to do it somewhere between 21 to 30 times. There's research that indicates both numbers are important. But a habit just doesn't happen in the first few or couple or 10, you know, it's got to get up to that 30 level for it to become that unconscious habit that we don't even have to think about doing. So if you know going in that you've got to have that repetition, you can map it out. If you're going to only do this 3 times a week, you know, that's going to take you 7 weeks. And the focus needs to be on completing the repetitions. But again, because the benefit isn't sufficient, the benefit of the habit to make it happen, there's other keys to get that repetition to happen that we'll talk about. And the end result of this is a habit. And that's for life, because again, once it becomes a habit, remember the definition, it's a repetitive behavior, you do not decide whether or not to do, it's because you just do it. It becomes unconscious. Now if we go to page 5, now this is the process that I'm wanting to introduce you to, that I've used a lot. It's called 6 Steps to Build a Positive Habit. And it's based on the idea that our life's already full of habits, and we need to have a plan for how to insert a new habit. And it, you know, if you think of the chair you're sitting in, if you were going to put that into orbit around the Earth, you'd have to get it going, I think, about 25,000 miles per hour to get it to where it's in a constant falling process where it's actually orbiting the Earth. So there's a lot of effort to get it into that kind of semi-permanent process. And that's really what you have to do with a habit. You have to really be focused on only one at a time, because it takes so much focus. You know, it's kind of like if you're an army and you're trying to make a plan and you've got this wall where your army's lined up and the other army's lined up. You don't go against the whole line at once. You have to focus on a particular place to break through the line. And so we have to break through our old habits to create a new habit. So just simply stated, step one is set a goal. This is the broad thing that I'm wanting to accomplish, like to be healthier and whatever. Two is consider the possibilities. This is, okay, how am I going to do that? What are some specific actions that I could take that would move me in the direction of that goal? For instance, am I going to exercise? Okay, if that's what the goal is, well, what are some exercises I could do? I could walk, I could run, I could bicycle, I could swim. You know, you have to be able to identify the range of potential behaviors if you're going to pick one that's actually going to become a habit. Then step three is be specific. Pick one of those possibilities, and you have to say when, where, what time. I mean, you know, if you want to make sure you do something, you can put it on a to-do list, but that may not get done any time particular. If you want to make certain that it happens, what you do is you put it in your calendar on a particular day at a particular time. Then there's a higher probability that it's going to happen. And the same thing is true with any habit. If it isn't nailed to a specific time, place in your life, it's just a nice idea. Life is made of habits that happen in places at specific times. And so this is key as well to having any kind of success. So for instance, the example of, you know, watching TV in the evening, I will use exercise equipment for 10 minutes, 3 times a week. Small steps can lead to large strides. You know, it's an important also, a lot of times we want a habit that's going to be done every day. And so we'll start out, oh, I'm going to do this every day. But boy, to go from not doing it at all to successfully doing it every day, that's kind of like impossible. So what you want to do is make it more doable. So say I'm going to do it twice a week. And if you do it 3 times a week, that's icing on the cake. Or 4 times, that's icing on the cake. But get the habit of twice a week down, and then you can expand it out. It's just about being realistic and figuring out what specific days, times, and places will work. Step 4 is connecting this new habit in time to an old habit, one that you already have. This is probably one of the most powerful of all these steps, because the habit that you already have is already in time. Just as an example, in our office, when we moved from one office to another, our office manager started having difficulty remembering to turn on the answer machine when she left to go out for lunch or go to the restroom or something. She'd never forgotten that in the old office. But in the new office, she was having some difficulty with that. And so in trying to look at this process of what is a habit you already have, now think about that. What's a habit that she already has whenever she leaves the office? What does she always do? Well, she always took her purse. So we asked, well, where do you put your purse? Well, you know, sometimes it's up behind the door, sometimes it's over here, sometimes it's over there. So what we did is we created what we called the sacred purse space. And guess where it was? It's right next to the answer machine. So she had a habit of picking her purse. She never was going to forget to take her purse. It was a habit. We just set it in place in time next to the answer machine. She never forgot again. I had another client who needed to remember to take some medicine, and I remember the vitamins, and they just kept forgetting, and that's the problem. We have the good intention. We kept forgetting. They never decided exactly when and where. And so we talked about the possibilities, and this is the challenge, is actually getting down to the clarity about this, and sometimes, you know, it's helpful to have someone to talk to about it. But we got down to lunchtime is when she needed to take it. She would go out to lunch and come back, and, you know, there wasn't any habit that she particularly had, but she started to realize she always came back from lunch. She opened the drawer of her desk to the right and put her keys there. So guess where we put the medicine? Right in that drawer. Never forgot again. So this is a powerful part of the process. Now, the next thing is this repetition. To be able to do it over a period of time, we recommend a minimum 21. You want to be really good, focus on 30. And, again, it's a matter of the sequence of doing it. And I highly recommend that you not go for doing it every day. I mean, you may end up doing it every day, but let that be icing. Because if you decide, for instance, that you're going to do something every day, and yet you fail one day, you failed, even though you did it 6 days. So let me encourage you, as you start to think about mapping out your plan for your habit, that you do it in a shorter period of time and then build towards that. And then the sixth step is very important, and it's setting a reward that is not the benefit of the habit. It has to be something that as you're doing those repetitions, you're thinking about, that you want. It's something you might give yourself anyway, but you don't do it then. You wait until the certain number of repetitions. You know, we don't ever set ourselves a success for this habit, because when something becomes a habit, actually we don't really know when exactly that happened, that it became the habit. So we don't have the real motivation as we're moving step by step by step to make that a reality in our life. So coming up with a habit, you know, like in this example, wanted to get a version of the Gladiator DVD. I thought it was a fantastic movie. And so, you know, I had that little picture that helped motivate me to take these steps to move towards making that happen in my life. So with each of these steps, there's, you know, obviously some more detail to it. That's why I have more pages in the handouts. If we move on to step six, just, you know, some inner strengths, some qualities that you have that will help you achieve these things. These are the inner resources that would help you achieve any goal. And then here are some potential goals, you know, if you're trying to think of a habit, maybe you should pick out one. So, you know, for the next, you know, 10 minutes, what I'd like you to do is just pick something that you would like to develop, and let's go through and apply these six steps to it and see how much progress we can make here. Got one of the goals, so you would just be writing that down just in its broad general way, and what you want to accomplish and the reasons. It is important to know what your motivations is. They're just not sufficient to make the habit happen. So you've got the habit defined in a broad term, what you're wanting to accomplish. It's not actually the specific behavior, most likely, what you're wanting to achieve by this, and what's the description, you know, what's your life going to be like when you succeed in making this goal a habit. In my life, you know, a powerful habit for me was wanting to floss my teeth. I knew it was good to do. My dentist was giving me all this grief about, you know, I was having problems with my gums because I wasn't doing it. And just thinking that I needed to wasn't sufficient. So using this process and getting clear that, you know, I do need my teeth. I do need my health. You know, my whole life's about talking. I really was clear that I needed to do it, but it wasn't happening. So as we go through this, you'll see how I applied the process. So in step two, you want to think about, okay, how am I going to actually do this? What are all the various possibilities? So there's a little mind mapping technique for kind of brainstorming. What are some actions that would, you know, actually have to be done to accomplish this goal? So this one example is about exercising regularly, and you've got the stretching, the basketball, doing exercise at home, walking, you know, joining. There's a lot of ideas that you could come up with that each one would be good to do and support the goal. Come up with one, two, three, four possibilities here that would move you in the direction of your goal. And I've just got, you know, page here for you to do it on your own, and another blank page for you to work on that. But assuming that you've gotten a few of them, now pick one and move to page 11 so that you come down to, okay, this is the specific action that I will take? You know, so from those examples, you know, maybe the specific action is going to be walking or riding a bike or something. And now you have to be clear about when I'm going to do this. Because again, if you don't, it's just like a nice idea. So what days, at what times, and how often is important. I've spoken about that a number of times, to try to do it in a way that, you know, you're setting yourself up for success rather than failure. So if you do it 2 times a week and you actually do it 4 times, that's icing on the cake. And where's the location that it's most likely to do this? So you want to be thinking about days, time, and location is very important. There's something to do at home, something to do out in the world, something to do at work, whatever it is. And also, is there any person who might be involved who would support you that you could talk with, at least let them know you're doing this? And that kind of accountability is helpful. And notice any resistance you have to doing that is directly related to, you know, basically our history of not believing in ourselves that we're actually going to do it. So, you know, not only do we not want to feel guilty, we don't want to be embarrassed, et cetera, but it would be helpful. Now, in finding this step four that's important, for me with the flossing, you know, I wanted to do it in the morning. I'm going to do it in my bathroom. But that wasn't sufficient, you know. You got to connect it to an old habit, to what's the old routine and the new routine. And the new routine is going to include your habit in it. So even though I decided I was going to do it in the morning, I really, and I know this sounds silly, but it's actually the truth. I didn't decide exactly when. So as a result, I wasn't actually doing it. So the real question is, I'm going to do it before I brush my teeth or after I brush my teeth? And I decided to do it before I brush my teeth. And also, this is really a neat idea for connecting an old habit, is connect the new habit in between two old habits. That's ideal. It's bookmarked. You push space in between two old habits. So between shaving and brushing my teeth, I floss my teeth. And now I don't even think about it. It is a habit. But I had to go through this process of being that precise to make it occur this way. Step five, you know, repeat the 21 times. So you have to figure out, okay, how many days a week am I doing this habit? And how many times will it take me to do 21? And what's the date that that's going to happen on? So you can even go mark your calendar, set reminders. Use your phone. If you've got a smartphone, you know, I need to take the garbage out every Monday night. I do not have the habit of that too much because I think I would forget it. But I use my phone to make it happen, and that works fine. So there are, you know, support systems that can help us produce our behaviors to help you stay on record. And then come up with a reward. Like for the one I had about the Gladiator DVD, you need to come up with something that makes your mouth salivate. That when you just think about this thing that you want, maybe something you give yourself anyway, you know, maybe, you know, it's a nice outfit or a new golf club or something, but it's something that you really want that you're not going to give yourself until you've done the certain number of repetitions. And by the way, if you forget, you got to start over. That's just the way it is. And there's brain research that actually proves that you lose the momentum if you break the routine in order to get it into a habit. So on page 14, we have just a place for you to make a copy of this and work it as you go forward in your life. The whole key is practice, 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 of course. And there are a lot of little examples, you know, cut out pictures of your reward to remind you, you know, get your friends involved, write reminders around. All of that will help make success more likely. And that's what you want to use this for. And just the last thought on the last page is, you know, some thoughts about why we fail. You know, basically what we're unaware of controls you. What you become aware of, you can change. And so as you think about, you know, just taking a minute to list all the reasons you can think of why you might fail to achieve your goal, you know, that's an important thing to consider, because then you can come up with, you know, looking ahead and planning for how to address this. It's just good project management. So this is the purpose was just to give you a quick overview of this model to introduce it to you. We're going to be doing some other teleseminars on this where we go into two of these steps at a time, go into more detail, and help you actually figure out what I think is the most challenging application of this, that really sometimes it's helpful to have someone, you know, do some coaching or think it through with you, is getting clear about the possibilities, being specific as to the day, time, and place, connecting that old habit to new habit. But everything that you need is here. The process is available. I'm now kind of met my goal of the 30 minutes. I wanted to see if anyone had any questions. I can open the mic for you. If you do, just raise your hand by clicking one. And I'm very grateful for your participation here, and we will make this available to you, and I hope that you can use this to make this year better than you've imagined possible, because I think that's really what's before us. We just have to do some things a little differently than we've done in the past. Questions? Well, again, thank you all very much for your participation. And if anyone you know might be interested, I'm going to be doing it again this evening at 7 p.m. So thank you very much, and look forward to sharing more with you on my website, drrobpennington.com. Thank you all very much for being here today.